we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively one of my favorite places. We are celebrating our 27th anniversary here with our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions and GBMC, putting us out on the road, eating the best things that I know of to eat. And we're in our number 9 on our countdown, mainly because of the days of the week. We're at Pizza John's in Essex. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery on the Crab Cake Tour. Got some lucky sevens. I got a pressure luck press away. We've been enjoying time with J.B. Jennings and sort of crossover on this side of the county. Todd Crandall is the representative here, and anybody who knows me knows I've known Todd since 1979, 80, 81. Todd's been in the news, not out right now, but nearby, and also a guy I've been trying to get on. I tried to get you on over in White Marsh. Yeah. I was at Red Brick Station with Bill Blocker and his beautiful daughter, Katie. That, man, that Endo's over there is sandwiches. Woo! So I've tried to get Councilman Marks on, and he said, just had a baby 5 days ago. And then I'm at J.B. Jennings' party in Ocean City, the, you know, as I always say, the bipartisan event in the uptown at Mako. And I saw you and your beautiful wife and the baby. Baby's getting big. You look well-rested.
That's deceptive.
Was about 3 months old? What do we got here? Three?
Almost four. Yeah, almost four.
How you doing? I mean, forget all the councilmen and all that service. Now, how you doing as a parent? How you measuring up?
Well, it's a great experience. I'm 51, so this is a late entry into my family. I have two kids who are 16 and 22. She's a very active, energetic baby, keeps us on our toes, doesn't sleep much, but that's
what,
right?
You feel more prepared this time around, because I keep thinking, like, with my kid, if anything ever were to happen there and I were to become a grandparent, I feel like I'm 56, but young, spry, you know, thank you, Planet Fitness. Didn't feel that way last night on the yoga mat, I assure you, it was a thumbs down, but, I feel like this, that you do learn and get more patient, maybe would be different. Understanding, I think we all get smarter. I hope we do. And I think in the modern era, I've learned a lot more about parenting than I would have even thought was available back when I tried it the first time.
Right, right. I think you're wiser, right? I think you are more patient. I think financially, older parents, it's better for kids, certainly. Physically, it's tougher, of course, you know, the lack of sleep. And my wife does the lion's share of the work, right? And she's feeding her, and I'm trying to support her. But it's a great experience. I mean, we're thrilled to have this daughter, and it's a new blessing for us.
Your kid liked me. Your kid did not scream, didn't go the other way, kind of cooed a little bit and giggled and waved, and I thought that was nice, you know? So off to a good start. How is your part of the county? The first thing I always get to when I get to any of you is, what makes your phone ring? And it is interesting. I had so many electeds on last week at Mako, and I do appreciate you coming out sort of on short notice. We've been trying to put this together on a Friday here, and you're like, it's a little outside my district, but it's like, but the pizza, the cheesesteaks, you know, why not come here? I'm always shocked by what it winds up being that makes your phone ring the most. And it probably is a moving target beyond street light being out or pothole being filled or whatever sort of politician X would say, right?
Every season it's something new, right? Winter it's snow drifts and getting roads plowed, and then the spring it's tall grass and rental properties that, you know, don't have the grass mowed, and then the summer it's kind of rats and mowing, and now it's school, right? So people call us when, you know, this bus stops aren't where they want them, or they're having issues with classes. The Board of Education is a separate unit of government. We do not directly oversee the school board, but people don't know that, and they call us. And fortunately, we have a really good school board member, Julie Henn, who works with us, and we get those issues resolved. So it is kind of a moving target.
So when somebody says, I'm mad at the school for whatever, or I can't get a school issue resolved, I'm going to call my councilman, and then you say...
We try to help, right? We try to help. We reach out to the school superintendent who has a liaison, and we reach out to the school board member.
Okay.
And we can usually nudge it along, right? Sometimes we can't. Sometimes there's regulations, laws that have to be followed, but we can at least get it a response. So
take me through the steps that I don't understand as a county resident, and I've had Julian on Yeah, I've had Izzy on. You know, I hope to, I've reached to Todd. Todd's been on 100 times, and when Todd is ready to come on, Todd will come on. But for all of you who selected Kathy, I've had Johnny O on, actually. I'll be at Costas on Monday where I had him on. And Timonium, by the way, not the... Not that when you say Costas now, you gotta be clear. You know, you mean Timonium or Dundalk, but I'll be in Timonium on Monday doing a crab cake tour. This process of selecting a county executive, Don Moeller, my friend, was obviously that came amidst tragedy, a shorter term. The Johnny O thing, there was certainly a couple months of maybe planning involved where it felt like he certainly was going to win or was a likely winner. The process of that. As a citizen, if I come to you and say, how did that happen? What do you explain to people?
Well, you mentioned the Don Moeller pick, and that happened very fast. And Don was a very logical person for that. And Councilman Tom Quirk and I actually were the ones who kind of led on that. You had two members of the council at that time who wanted to be county executive, Julian Jones and Vicki Allman, and that did create a bit of a deadlock. And we basically, Tom and I basically said, Don's the logical person. We had somewhat of a similar situation this time in that, you know, there are three members of the county council who want to be county executive. And I think they were probably not very eager to put someone in place who could potentially run again. Even though there were some people who were saying they weren't going to run. I mean, once you become the county executive, you probably consider running again. So we needed to find someone who really was going to be, I hate to use the word caretaker, but that type of person. We needed to find someone who had some connections to Annapolis. I wanted to find someone who could work in a bipartisan way with both Republicans and Democrats. And so, you know, I think a lot of us did gravitate toward Kathy based upon...
Well, you all knew her, right?
We all knew her. Yeah, I've known her for 30 years. You know, she does have a lot of good political skills. I mean, she's represented a competitive district in the state Senate. She's from my hometown of Perry Hall. Having said that, you know, it's been a kind of a roller coaster ride over the past few months. You know, I'm happy
was that to
be
expected, or not? Is some of this been sort of brought on by what's been in the news the last 8 to 10 weeks?
Yeah, you asked about what's causing my phones to ring off the hook.
That
inspector general issue.
Sure,
I have never in 15 years had an issue that produced so much reaction and so much bipartisan reaction. I mean, liberal Democrats, conservative Republicans, all agreed on this. I don't know what in the world prompted Kathy to want to get rid of Kelly Madigan, particularly since we all liked her and she had done such a good job, and we had told her staff, you know, we don't want to vote for someone else, but they went ahead with this vote, and as a result, I think that was the very first vote ever, maybe, where a county executive's nomination got turned down. It's just the oddest episode.
Unnecessary, as you see it, just in a general sense that it didn't get done?
Completely unnecessary, and a self-inflicted wound. I mean, Kelly Madigan has done a very good job. She isn't perfect. By her own admission, she'll say she's made mistakes.
Tell me about that role, the inspector general
role.
I would fail the schoolhouse rock in explaining exactly what the inspector general does.
So it's an independent position. It's a position where someone thinks something's been done fraudulently or a waste of taxpayer dollars. They can go to that person and report it. And we really didn't have that before. You know, just beforehand, someone could report, you know, something to the county executive's office, and who knows if it would get investigated. Kelly Madigan and other inspectors general are designed to be this independent office that looks at these perceived abuses and issues a report.
Who would have been the inspector of such a thing prior to that appointment and assignment?
There's a county auditor, but the auditor works for the county council and basically is kind of like a legislative reviewer, right? Fred Homan, probably. He was the county administrative officer. That's the person you would have reported to.
So something you feel like... crooked, awry, that's where the inspector general gets.
That's where you would have gone to, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so the outcome of this, and after all of the dust settles, what does it mean for Citizen Nestor? in Baltimore County?
I think there's a couple things. First, it proves that there is an engaged citizenry that is watching Baltimore County government. And that's a good thing, right? People are engaged. I think for county government, it shows that there's an enduring need to watch over our finances and how things are done. But I also think it shows that there's tremendous support for Kelly Madigan. She's in place. Kathy Klausmeier will not be appointing anyone new. So what I suspect will happen is a new county executive probably will move to reappoint Kelly Madigan and make it official. And she can serve two terms.
Councilman David Marks is our guest here, coming across the county a little bit. You're not far from here, right?
Oh, no. We're pretty close.
Yeah, a couple mile or two, three?
Yeah, our district starts around Martin State Airport. So
2 miles, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right. Well, so I'm not that far to bring you over. This is not your first Pizza John's, right?
No, I've been here a lot. It's an establishment on this. It's an icon, right? Great
it's
pizza.
Good.
It is very good.
Well, yeah. You got the chicken fingers. Maybe you got little kids here, but we'll get this going. So for the county and prosperity and tax and money and schools. This is your soapbox. Jump on it and tell me where you are and what's got you moving these days.
It actually has to do with the Inspector General position. So,
is that over with or no? No, is that
well the position
the drama is
the,
over.
The drama's over with, but
I thought it was.
There's something we need Annapolis to do. And right now the Inspector General does not have any oversight over Baltimore County Public Schools. That's about $2.4 billion of our budget. That the Inspector General can't, go into the books. It makes no sense. It's because the state legislature has tended to view the school system as an appendage of the state government. When you get a diploma from high school in Maryland, the diploma is from the Maryland State Department of Education. But in all practicality, the Inspector General of our home county should have the ability to go into the finances, into the operations of the Baltimore County Public Schools. So
what percentage of the budget? It's an enormous.
It's about half. And it's about half. Actually, if you look at education in a totality, it's about 60% when you look at libraries and community colleges too. But the school system is about half.
And then there's police, fire, all other services.
Right. Right.
But anytime I've ever talked to anybody in the education space, I'm not blown away by that. But I'm also saying that's our society saying. This is where we want our tax dollars to go, to educating young people. Even if you don't have kids or have kids in the system, half of my tax dollars are going to the schools. I need them to be good.
Yeah, and look I have an interesting perspective. I'm a special educator in another county. I'm as pro public education as you will get, pro schools. We've done a lot of things right in Baltimore County. We're finally addressing our overcrowding issue. We have some new schools being built, three new high schools being built. But the fact of the matter is, when you have that amount of the county budget going to one area, you should have the Inspector General get oversight over that. So the state legislature is going to have to act to do this. We asked the state legislature to act in 2021, and it was blocked. So I'm hoping that
JB's having a cheesesteak over here. So I think you're talking about his people.
It wasn't JB.
No,
it
was, but I mean, just in general, this is where county government is different than.
Right.
And working together with Annapolis, and this is where if I'm a citizen, I'm like, all right, let's get through the red tape. Let's put somebody in charge and hold them accountable. That's kind of how I want it as a citizen, that's all. Not doing this, right, which is pretty much,
right.
It's easy to say, it's not mine, well, let's get it in-house, right? That's what you're trying to do.
I think JB is a fantastic state senator who works very hard. He's effective because he's been there a while and he knows how to get things done. That's the difference between the county and the state. The legislature is so big, you have to accrue experience to get things done. It's much more partisan. Baltimore County, it's a smaller body. It's 7 members of the council, and I think we probably get along better. Much different governance model.
Well, you're not spending all your time fighting, although this Inspector General thing really created a fissure, right? I mean,
I think it did.
Certainly did in the news. I mean, it made its way out. In a way that most citizens don't even know what it is, right?
It has been an interesting 4 years. It's been probably more combative than other councils I've served on. But, I don't think there was any name calling. It doesn't get to the sort of partisan vitriol you see in Washington, for example. And the process works. I mean, 5 of us came together. We blocked the appointment. We have Kelly Madigan in place. And I think a lot of citizens trust what we did.
I'm going to say this. I'm a Baltimore County graduate from school, community college, business owner, 27 years. I've owned a business in Baltimore County. I'm now a resident of Baltimore County, like all of that. The notion of how powerful our county is in regard to how many citizens we have, top 80, I think, in the country for population. Not necessarily as wealthy as some places. I had Montgomery County executive on, Mark Elrich, last week, talk about pockets of money and places where there would be more wealth or affluence. But just sort of the great American county of having Republicans like yourself, Democrats, you know, throwing off congressmen at various points in different ways. But as the story goes, we're bigger and more powerful than we think. It's a big municipality. Mueller would always try to impress that upon me until I start to see it compared to other counties and other cities in regard to population and in regard to how many schools we have, services we have, employers we have, and all of those kind of things. It's it's a much bigger job than when I have Wicomico County Executive on. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I've represented a big part of it. I mean, I began representing Towson to Perry Hall, and then it was Towson to Kingsville, and now I'm Kingsville to Middle River. I mean, I think I've represented more population than almost any other council member, and I've seen the differences. I mean, Towson is like its own little city. And very liberal, very democratic now. And then I represent the East Side, which is very conservative and Republican, and the waterfront. I'll point this other fact out about Baltimore County is the huge senior population. We have the second highest proportion of senior citizens outside of Miami, Florida.
What?
Yeah, we have a huge senior population.
Well, and then you know what that says to me, that we have to have a lot of service for seniors.
We do.
Right? In a way that I've never heard this. This is like the first time I've ever heard this out loud.
Yeah, 25% of our population is senior citizen. You know, and a lot of seniors tend to just stay within their own communities, or they don't want to leave their kids. They stay in Baltimore County.
I see them here at Pizza John's, thankfully. That's how we are unique in that way. We have generational cool stuff that goes on here.
Yeah.
And I talk about all the time. That's what Baltimore Positive is all about, trying to figure out, like, keep places like Pizza John's thriving, all of the local businesses, and that's why I get out and try to do the crab cake tour. You know, it was interesting that you missed my chat with Bill Blocker, I encourage anyone to go watch it, because I've known Billy 30 years. I mean, I remember when they were putting bricks together over there, and I would always give him ish, right? I would go, because I was Budweiser sponsored, and he could never have my show in there, because Budweiser underwrote my show, which is why I was over at the barn all the time, right? So this is back 30 years ago, right? They're building the Avenue. Him and Tony Della Rose are going to move in there, and Joe Della Rose. And I said to them, who the hell is ever going to leave the mall to go out and, like, be on an avenue outside? Who's going to want to shop outside? Who would ever do that? And all these years later, and then I also said to him, I'm like, who's going to drink your flat beer that you're making in your little thing over there? Nobody's ever going to drink anything other than Budweiser, Miller, and Coors. It is really amazing, but that area, the avenue and the mall, and when I'm there, I'm now getting third, fourth generation into this, right? I remember sending my parents out to White Marsh Mall so we could throw a party in 1981 when it opened. And now to see that that is going to become apartments of some kind, or I talk so much with the zoning nerds like yourself that worry about all of that stuff and stay in control of all of that and population. It is amazing to see how much your eyes have seen. Well, Pizza John's has remained Pizza John's here. I'm from the East Point area, and it's always like, what's going to happen to that, what that's going to become. But White Marsh is one of those things where I still had rabbits running through my backyard that, you know, it was a marsh. I remember it being a marsh when I was a kid.
And old quarries.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, rock quarry. Yeah,
absolutely.
Rock quarries,
I mean, to see the change and to see that people like you are charged with that, and making sure that it sort of repopulates itself the way that it needs to for business. And I know that that's sort of like your lane, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember going with my mom to Corvettes over by Paring Plaza. I remember going with my dad to the movies over by Paring Plaza and seeing Poltergeist when I was
Corvettes.
8 years old.
They didn't have a Two Guys over there.
They had a Two Guys over there, yeah. And they had the best store that was tilted. Remember that?
Oh, that was the best.
That was the best store,
you're talking about.
No, well, they had one of those on 40, but the tilted one was by Calvert Hall.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
By Utah Wood Plaza.
But I'll tell you, the Avenue succeeds because it's a destination. And it's always reinventing itself. You know, the ice rink, the concerts.
Bill's got Andos just, next door.
The Andos, I mean, it is.
That Jamaican joint over there, what used to be De La Rosa's. Yeah. My wife and I went there and said, this is nice.
The parade. I mean, it's always refreshing itself. It's reinventing itself. The mall is in better shape than people think. I mean, I get all these criticisms all the time about White Marsh Mall. The fact of the matter is it has a pretty high leasing rate. It's not a dead mall by any stretch. I think, though, what it needs, it does need to be more of a destination. It has to do something new and something different as it enters its, 50 years.
Every mall has to figure that out.
The economy's changing.
Every business has to figure that out.
The economy's changing. So many people order things online.
You make great pizza, people still come get it.
That's right.
Matter of fact, you can order the pizza here online and have Pizza John shipped.
Yeah.
Although I recommend you come in Essex, get it yourself.
Yeah, but the Avenue's, it's fantastic. It's a great destination in my district, too. So
you mentioned two guys, man. My number 27 thing on my list, speaking of Harford County, anytime I'm anywhere near Bel Air, they have the only Philly pretzel company up there. And it's in the plaza where Pappas is, up by the up past John Carroll, up to the right. And I get those pretzels, but it's all because of two guys. Two guys was an original place where they had soft pretzels.
Oh, really?
Outside when, I think I'm older than a lot of you guys. That's probably part of the problem. I got 10 years. But you mentioned Corvettes, man. Dundalk, we're going to get Topscomb. We're going to be getting all the names out.
Yeah.
Councilman Marks is here. We are at Pizza John's in beautiful Essex, Maryland. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, also eating my favorite things, the cheesesteak here among my favorite things. I love the crinkle cut fries here because they remind me of the bowling alley, so for the county and running for county executive, and you're not running.
No, I'm not going to run. No.
Okay. But you mentioned other councilmen are running. You're happy with what you're doing. Now let's talk about your council and where you are. You little baby now. You got a whole thing going on here. It's an important time for the county, and I think Julian, we're going to have Pat's coming on. Everybody that's running has been – Nick's been on talking about all these issues and how populated the county is and the schools and the progress and even the city coming along, being getting better and trying to make the state better. Every time I get together with Westmore, we try to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a spirited race on the Democratic side. Pat, Izzy, and Julian all have their strengths, and any one of them can win, I think. There'll be a Republican candidate. I'd love to see someone like Chris West run, state senator for Chris West. It's an uphill fight for a Republican, though. And I'm happy where I am. I'm going to see where the map ends up, the redistricting map, but before I make a decision.
How many times are you going to change maps on you? I mean, you've been sitting in
this will be my fourth.
Right. I mean,
this will be my fourth.
Amazing.
Yeah. I'm the first councilman, I think, to have been through four maps. So. But that process is almost over with.
Nobody's ever happy with that process, right? Fully, right?
No, I do want
to. I mean, now we got the Gavin Newsom and the Texas thing in the news.
That's exactly.
Right?
And I say this to people all the time. Our map is a bipartisan map. It's community focused. It's bipartisan. It isn't gerrymandered. We're not going the Texas route. We're not going the California route. And we have districts that are competitive. I say this a lot. I mean, a good Democrat can beat a bad Republican in every district in Baltimore County. So the Republicans really have to be on their game to win.
Well, and why do you think you win as a Republican? It isn't easy, right?
It isn't easy.
Right.
First of all, I'm honored to represent the district and represent the citizens. I have great communities, great families, good friends throughout the district. I think I try to put partisan politics aside. I try to work with Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike. And I try to focus on deliverables, right? Three new schools in our district since 2018, more than a dozen parks advanced in my district, road improvements. That's really the meat and potatoes. That's what people want to see. They don't want to see us not getting along and pointing fingers at one another. And coming back to Kathy Klausmeier, by the way, I think this is also important because it hasn't gotten enough play. She didn't raise taxes, right? And I think that was important for a lot of people. She kept the fiscally disciplined approach Baltimore County showed in the past. And, I know she's kind of stumbled a little bit here, but, she's a decent person. I think she just made a bad decision with Kelly Madigan. But she didn't raise taxes, and we've still continued investing in a lot of important capital projects, and that should be noticed by people.
County's in good shape, as you see it.
The county is in good shape. We have challenges. Our biggest challenge is the fact that we have aging infrastructure. We have these schools that were built in the 1950s and 60s. They're all deteriorating.
I'm keenly aware. I was at Colgate and Dundalk.
Yeah. And we didn't charge developers impact fees for decades until 2019. And that was a bill I put in. So we're playing catch up. We're replacing infrastructure. And public safety is always an issue. We have hundreds of vacancies in our police and fire services. But this is a county with inherently good people, a lot of diversity, great attractions, wonderful physical geography, terrific resources. And I think it has a good future ahead of it.
Now, look, I know Crandall's not around right now, but I want to say something on his behalf.
Yes.
We even saved the Heritage Fair.
Yes.
So, we've even gotten that done on the east side. So there.
Yeah, and I'll say this about Todd, too. We've passed some important legislation over the past 2 years. We reformed our Adequate Public Facilities Ordinance, which deals with development in school districts. He was the deciding vote on that. The expansion of the council, he was the deciding vote on that. He's been an active, important vote on the county council. And I think that needs to be noticed.
Well, I've known Todd my whole life. And Lord knows Todd and I, much like JB and you guys are Republicans. I've warred with all of you, especially over who your leader is. And I'm never going to let that go because I think of both of you as people of integrity. You come and sit next to me. There are Republicans who sit in seats similar to yours who avoid me, don't want to sit down and talk to me. I don't want to call you a centrist because that makes you look so bad on your side when you're trying to win. If Trump put somebody in to put you out of business in your county. But, I do see sensible people when I go to Mako. People are like, why are you down in Ocean City being on the beach, being with all these politicians and stuff? I'm like, it's the only way I learn anything as a citizen that I can use my FCC license and my audience in the best way to try to talk to people. And I say when I go to Mako, I come back, I have some hope for all of us. I really do.
Yeah.
In a county where I can call Todd Crandall, I can call you, I can call JB, I can call, Barry Glassman always wants to bring me up to the farm, hang out. So, yeah. I do think that that's important because I'm perceived by some people in the MAGA thing as being in the wicked witch of the Bernie Sanders, and I probably am. but that doesn't mean that I really appreciate when the other side of the aisle comes and I try to say, well, what do we have in common here? Let's find the things that make us all proud of our local police, our schools, our people, our parks, our land, cleanliness, safety, all of those important things.
And speaking of the east side, Todd Crandall, his greatest legacy is going to be Trade Point Atlantic. And a lot of people made that possible, right? The state legislature, Governor Hogan when he was in office,
sure.
Kevin Kamenetz when he was county executive.
Carson coming out Monday.
And the private sector. But, Todd Crandall played an important role there. The county council had a decision, 2015 or 16, whether to help subsidize some of the infrastructure going to Trade Point Atlantic. We caught a lot of heat from some people, but it was the right call. Because when COVID hits, the online economy just explodes. And Todd Crandall was a big part of Trade Point Atlantic. It is his greatest legacy as a councilman.
Well, I probably have him on tape somewhere screaming about that 10 years ago, literally,
trying
to get it built.
People were screaming at him.
Just all of that going on. Hey, man, I go back to the LNG thing where they're going to build a nuclear power plant down there.
Yeah.
And getting involved and rolling sleeves up with Bart Fisher and some people about fighting that. So, I remember all of that in the east side of town. And it shook out the way it should because we can still come here and get a pizza at Pizza John's.
Yes, we can.
Councilman Marks, I appreciate
you. Very much.
You're dismissed back to your
you.
4-month-old. Don't drop the mic on me. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Your friends at Curio Wellness putting us out on the road so I can continue to eat and eat well. Just like I just watched J.B. Jennings devour that cheesesteak over there. I got to take a break. I'm going to go get a cheesesteak. I'm going to get a pizza. Dundalk Venezuelan style. That's the Hawaiian with the pepperoni on it. We're Pizza John. Stay with us. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We are Baltimore Positive.